Psalm 34, Psalm of David, reads as follows. It's introduced. The Psalm of David, when he changes behaviour before Abimelech or Achish, who drove him away and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My mouth shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord. David writes, I sought the Lord. Have you ever truly sought the Lord? By nature, we seek many things. We seek pleasure. We seek riches. We seek those things that we want, or those people we want. But have you sought the Lord? Who seeks the Lord? Who do you meet in this day and age and generation who is seeking the Lord? Does anyone seek the Lord? Does anyone in their natural state seek the Lord? Well, according to Paul in Romans chapter 3, the answer's no. You may say, oh, I have sought the Lord, or I'm seeking the Lord. But according to Paul in Romans, he quotes, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. There is none that understandeth. There's none that understands the things of God. There's none that seeks God. By nature, you're not born seeking God. You're born speaking lies. You're born furthering your own ends and your own glory. Because you're born in sin. Mankind wasn't made in such a way. The first man, Adam, wasn't made, wasn't created in sin. But when he fell, when he rebelled, when he sought his own glory over the glory of God, when sin entered man, sin passed upon all men and death by sin. And every man, woman and child that has come upon the face of the earth since seeks their own things, not the things of God and not the things of Jesus Christ. There is none that seeketh after God. You haven't, have you? Truly. And yet here, the psalmist David says, I sought the Lord. Then why did he seek the Lord? What brought David to seek the Lord when by nature he was born a sinner like you and I? Blind to the things of God, deaf to the things of God, dead to the things of God. What brought him to seek the Lord? God brought him. He didn't seek him by nature. But God brought David to the point where everything else was nothing to him. Where everything else had come crashing down. Where everything else was worthless. God brought him into circumstances where he needed help. And God brought him to know that that help could come from one source and one source only. God brought him to the end of himself and the end of his hope and his trust in men. God brought him to seek the Lord. God broke him. He brought him into distress. He brought him into debt. And he brought him into anguish. And then he sought the Lord. If you've ever been brought to seek the Lord, you will know something of David's pathway. By nature, we don't. It begins with God. It begins with God seeking us and working in us to draw us unto himself. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. David's full of praise, because God brought him to a desperate state, and God brought him to seek. And when he sought, the Lord heard him and answered him, and the Lord delivered him from all his fears. The Lord saved him. The Lord was a saviour unto him. The Lord heard. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. You'll never seek until you're given a need. You'll never seek until the Lord first shows you what you are, where you are, where you're heading, and your great need to be delivered from your sin and from judgment. There's a wonderful psalm contrasting God's deliverance of his chosen here, of David, of the righteous from all their troubles, and the contrast with the plight of the wicked. David and those like him may have known great trial, great trouble. But their final end was wonderful. Though they were brought through great difficulties, though they were led through the fires and deep waters, Ultimately, the Lord saved them and delivered them and blessed them. And though others around them, the wicked, seemed to prosper and seemed to have it easy and weren't in the same trials and the same difficulties that they were, though others seemed to prosper around David, their ultimate end was destruction. David says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." So we see in this psalm the great grace which God has bestowed upon David, the great deliverance, and the judgment of God against the wicked. And through David here, we see the Lord Jesus, of whom David is but the figure, of the states that Christ was brought into, and of how the Lord delivered him. He keepeth all of his bones, not one of them is broken. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. When Christ hung upon the cross, like David, he knew what trial was. He knew what suffering was. He knew what death was. And Christ's gaze, Christ's faith, Christ's cry was unto the Father. And though the Father in judgment judged his own Son, because Christ died in the place of his people, because Christ bore the sins of his own people, and because God in righteousness had to judge his own people, because he had to judge those sins, because he could not turn a blind eye to the sins that Christ bore, because God was just and must judge the sinner, and because Christ on the cross hung as the sinner in the place of his people, though God judged him, though God poured out the fires of his wrath upon him, though God took the sword of justice and thrust it into his own Son, nevertheless, Christ's faith wavered not. Nevertheless, Christ looked and sought the Lord and waited on his God and cried unto his Father and knew that in the end, despite all, despite the judgment that was poured out upon him, despite the suffering he endured, despite the fires he passed through, despite the floods that went over his head, despite the wrath of God which poured out, despite the death he endured, Christ's faith looked up and trusted and waited and knew that God would deliver him. He knew that God would deliver him out of all his troubles. He knew that he would rise again victorious. He knew that his suffering for his people would not be in vain. He knew that in dying in their place, everyone for whom he died would be saved. Such was his love for them. Such was his love for God. Such was his faith in God, that he knew that as he sought the Lord, he would hear him and deliver him from all his fears. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Well, the heading of the psalm gives us the context which caused David to write this psalm. Gives us the background and the circumstance in which he was brought, which led to him writing these wonderful words. The Psalm of David, when he changed his behaviour before Abimelech or Achish, who drove him away and he departed. And we read of this encounter, as we read earlier, in 1 Samuel in chapter 22. David comes to a place called Nob and to Ahimelech the priest. Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, "Why art thou alone and no man with thee?" And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, "The king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee. And I have appointed my servants to such and such a place." So David is sent by Saul, and he comes alone. And he says unto Ahimelech, "Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present." And the priest answered David and said, "There's no common bread under my hand, but there is hallowed bread. If the young men have kept themselves at least from women." And David answered the priest and said unto him, "Of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out. And the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it was sanctified this day in the vessel." So the priest gave them hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the show bread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, "And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste." And the priest said, "The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here." And David said, "There is none like that. Give it me." And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, "Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish the king of Gath. And he changed his behaviour before him, and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen, that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" David therefore departed thence, and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him, and every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Now in this account, of David coming first to the priest Ahimelech and taking from him the hallowed bread to eat after 3 days. And then taking the sword of the Philistine Goliath. And then coming before this king of Gath, Achish, and behaving mad in his presence in order to escape from him. Before finally escaping out of his hands and coming to the cave Adullam, where others are gathered unto him. We see a wonderful picture of the gospel and a wonderful picture of how God used these circumstances to cause David to seek him. It was God that delivered David out of the hands of his enemies. He knew that Saul hated him. He knew that Saul was jealous of him and sought his life. And he comes before another here who knew who he was, who'd heard of him, who'd heard that this is David, of whom the people had praised because of the victories which were given to David, because of David's great victory over Goliath. Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul have slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? This king of Gath knew who David was, and he'd have put him to death. So David acts mad in his presence, that he might be seen as weak, as one not to be feared, as a fool, as one to be cast out. And in so doing, the Lord delivered him from this king's presence, and he escaped unto the cave Adullam. We read how he seeks bread after 3 days. We read of a sword. We read of the deliverance from his enemies. And we read in the end of him being brought to a place of refuge, to the cave Adullam, where others like him who are in distress, who are in debt, who were discontented, afflicted, troubled, were gathered unto him. In this picture, we see Christ laying down his life for his people. We see Christ, the bread of life, being offered up for his people. We see Christ laying in the grave for 3 days, crucified, being put in the grave, in the tomb, in a cave. We see Christ in the end being lifted up as the showbread, as the bread of life who delivers his people from all death and judgment and sin. We see Christ having his people gathered unto him in his death, in the grave, to be delivered and rising up with them victorious the other side. We see the sword of God's wrath, the sword of God's judgment, the sword of sin, the sword of the enemy being brought upon Christ and his people. The priest gives unto David that sword wrapped in a cloth. That sword of Goliath's, David says, there's none like it. Give it me. A mighty sword is given unto he who is the picture of Christ. There's no sword like this sword. There's no judgment like this judgment. There's no blade like this blade. There's no death like this death. There's no suffering like this suffering. There's no trouble like this trouble. We see and David's madness, how weak he was before his enemies, and how this king of Gath looked upon him and despised him as the enemies of God looked upon the Son of God in his weakness and laughed and spat upon him and ridiculed him and mocked him. Lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen, that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? So the world looked upon Christ and looked upon the wisdom of God and said it's foolishness. And they looked upon he who is the wisdom of God and said he is foolishness. They despised him because of his meekness, because they had him in their hands, because they were able to take him and nail him to a cross and crucify him. They thought he was weak. They thought he was powerless in their hands. This one who had said, I am the Son of God. They laughed and said, is this the Son of God? Is this what the mighty power of God is like? Is this the Almighty in our hands? This one we lift up and nail to a cross and crucify and slay with our own hands. Is this God? They laughed at him like he was a madman, like David. And that's what you have done with Jesus Christ. And that's what you do with the Son of God. You take him and you look at him and you despise him. You hear of him in the gospel. You read of him in the scriptures. You hear of what others tell you of him. And you say, is that God? Is that the Son of God? Is that as strong and mighty as he is? You look at him in his weakness. You look at him upon the cross. You look at him dying in the place of sinners and say, is that God? Is that the gospel? You see his blood. You see a dead man. And you say, if that's the Son of God, why did he die? Why could he not call down a legion of angels to deliver him as those that stood alongside jeered and mocked? You say the same thing in your own heart. Why must the Son of God die? Why is he so weak? Why should I worship such a God? And to you he's a madman. And you cast him out. You say, take him away. And off he goes. And you think you're so wise. And so cunning. And so clever. In having shut your eyes. And shut your ears. To the truth of God. In having turned your back upon the Son of God, in having trampled upon his blood, in having cast out this foolish man, this madman, from your presence. Oh, you think you're wise, like the king of Gath. But this man, like David, this Son of God, who you crucified with your attitude, and your hatred, and your mockery, and your scorn, when you pierced him with your sin, when you cast him out, when he died, he did the greatest thing that ever happened in this world. He demonstrated the power of God in a way that you by nature simply cannot comprehend. That moment of weakness, that moment of madness in the world's eyes, that moment of foolishness that this great man that could cure people, that could heal the sick, that could make the blind to see, that could walk on water, that caused Lazarus to come forth from the tomb, this worker of wonders, could he not save himself? Yet that moment of sheer desperation, that moment in your eyes of foolishness that he had to lay down his life, that he was not so strong that he could deliver himself. In that moment, when he died, in the eyes of men, a failure. In your eyes, weak and foolish. In that moment, he delivered a countless multitude from their sins. In that moment, he caused millions of dead people to rise again and live. In that moment, he took sinners like you and I and made them to be righteous. In that moment, he saved David from his iniquity. In that moment, he brought in an everlasting salvation for a countless multitude. In that moment, he judged this world. In that moment, the destiny of every man, woman, and child upon this earth was finalized, sealed, and cemented. God had already decided who will be saved and who will be damned, but that ratified it, that sealed it. God took the judgment of his people and laid it upon the Son, and he died. And God left the sins of the wicked, of a multitude of others who laughed and scoffed, and left it upon them. And because Christ didn't suffer in their place, they will suffer forevermore. Now you may, with the King of Gath, look on upon Christ upon the cross and see David a madman and laugh and say, I'll have nothing to do with this. But in the end, if that's how you go to your grave, you will meet that madman, the other side of death, who will stand before you and utter a sentence, depart from me, I never knew you, ye worker of iniquity. That man you cast out as mad is the very wisdom of God, the Son of God, the one who is the power of God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the one before whom you must stand and answer, the one who holds your life in his hands, the most powerful in time and eternity. A madman or a saviour? He had given unto him by the priest the sword of Goliath. There's none like it. There's no sword like this sword. And that great sword he drove into himself in judgment. His father slew the son. His father slew him with such a sword. And in such a death, he delivered all his people from all their sins. Which is why David was answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Delivered me from all my fears. David was hungry. The Lord fed him. Your great hunger is not for bread in this world. Your great need of food, like David, is for the bread of life from heaven. Your great need is for hallowed bread, holy bread, after 3 days. Christ died, and on the third day he rose again. The bread of heaven rose victorious from the grave. You need to eat that bread and drink the water of life, who Christ is. Yes, here's a picture of Christ's death. His going into the tomb, into the cave, and his people being gathered unto him. Here is death and resurrection. Here is sojourn and rest with the Lord. Everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves under him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Here is rest. Here is a people in pilgrimage, passing through the waters. Here at Cave Adullam is the church. David departed therefore thence and escaped to the Cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves under him. David sought the Lord, and the Lord heard him. David was being pursued by Saul. David came unto the king of Gath, who could have put him to death. He cried out unto his God. His God was with him. He played the madman before the king, and the Lord delivered him out of his hands. The world looked upon him and laughed. And David was delivered into this cave. And the people sought him. They came looking for him. People like him. People in trouble. People in distress, in debt, in great affliction, sought him. Why did they seek David? Because David knew the Lord. Because David had been anointed of the Lord. David was God's anointed. David was the one whom God would have to be king. Yes, at that time Saul was king. But God's love was for David. David was a picture of the Saviour. And the people came to know. And they came to know he who could save them. Despite all outward appearances, despite what everyone else would tell them, they knew. Outwardly, Saul was their king. Outwardly, Saul should be the one unto whom they should go. But they'd been taught of God. And they were taught another way. And rather than go into the man of might in the world's eyes, rather than following the wisdom of this world, they went to the one who was mad, the fool, the weak in the eyes of the world. And yet the one whom God loved, the one who was anointed, God's true king, who had sought the Lord, and the Lord had delivered him. David was anointed. David was lifted up before the people and drew others unto him. And in drawing them to himself, he drew them unto God. He's but a picture of the God that they sought. A picture of Christ, a picture of the Saviour, a picture. He sought the Lord and the Lord heard him. They sought the Lord, went to David and came unto God through him. They came to Christ to come to the Father. And they found David in the cave, Adullam. They found him in the grave. They were united with him in the grave. They were led by the gospel to the cross. And from the cross to the grave, to the tomb. And they were one with their Saviour in the tomb. Dying with him, having their sins taken away, and then finally coming forth with him, victorious. David was lifted up and drew others unto him. As a figure of Christ, who in John 12 said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Preach the gospel. Lift up Christ from the earth upon the cross, and he'll draw all men unto him. And here God took David, the man he loved, and lifted him up before the people, and those in need were drawn unto him. When were these people brought to seek him? And what were they like? They came when they were in distress, when they were in debt, and when they were in discontent or bitter anguish, bitterness of soul. Now the words translated here, distress, debt, and discontent, in the original tongue have a sense which is far greater than the English conveys. By distress, it is meant sheer distress, utter distress, utter torment, absolutely in trouble, having been brought to a point where you cannot survive, where you can't think what to do, where to go. Everything is terrible. Everything's fallen apart. Everything's in ruin. It's acute distress. And everyone that was in debt, absolutely in debt, sheer poverty, the debt's gone over their heads. They weren't just owing someone a few pounds that they could pay them the next week, but they were so far in debt that there was no escape. Every week that went by, they were getting more and more in debt. The more they strove to get themselves out of debt, the more they entered into debt. That kind of debt. And everyone that was discontented or had bitterness of soul, so much trouble were they in, that there was bitterness within. There was so much trouble, so much despair. They could see no escape. It's when they were brought into this state that they went unto David. This is the character of those that were drawn unto him. And this is the character of those that are drawn unto Christ. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. Has he brought you into that sort of place? Total distress about your sin, your iniquity, where you stand before a holy God, your absolute lack of righteousness. Has he shown you the debt that your sins have brought in? Has he shown you that the more that you work, the more you strive to live right, to live righteous, the worse you get? It's a sinking feeling, it's a drowning feeling. And has he brought you, by consequence, into bitterness of soul? Are you there? Have you been there? Have you sought the Lord? If you have, you won't find him with the king of Gath. You won't find him with Saul. You won't find the Lord in those places and with those people that the world considers mighty. You won't find him with the great companies. You won't find the Lord in the great meetings or the great multitudes. You'll find him in the cave of Adullam. You'll find him cast out. You'll find that the Lord is that one who everyone else casts out as foolish. The true Christ, the true Saviour, is that one whose person and message and work is despised by the world. Not just the world of sinners, but the world of religion. They cast him out. They say, we'll not have this man. We want another Jesus. We want a Jesus that will prosper us in this world. But you'll find that this Jesus, this Saviour, this David, is mad in the world's eyes. And you won't find him in the courts of the King of Gath. You'll find him in a cave. You'll find him dead and buried. You'll be drawn to the cross and drawn to the grave and drawn to the tomb where the women came looking for Christ early in the morning on the third day. You'll go with the women to the tomb. You'll go in your distress and your debt and your discontent. You'll go with your great need and you'll cry out and you'll seek by faith and say, Lord, help me. And you'll be to others as a madman. You'll be just as foolish as he was. You'll be to others like David. You'll seem mad to the world around you. Yet you, by faith, inwardly will be going to a place, a cave, where David is there as a captain over his people. And you'll go with others and you'll see them entering. You'll see the other fools in the world's eyes who've come to know him. And you'll find and recognize with them a common trait that they, like you, have come to an end of themselves. They, like you, have been slain. They, like you, are dead. They, like you, have nothing. They, like you, once sought their own ends and sought their own glory. They, like you, know that they were once unwilling, ungrateful, uncaring. They, like you, are sinners, dead in trespasses and sins. But they, with you, have come to a Saviour, slain for sinners, who's become their captain. And they, like you, have sought the Lord, and he heard them and delivered them from all their fears. And they, like you, say unto you, as you say unto them, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Have you been brought to a cave, a tomb where the Lord lay? Have you been in distress, in debt, in bitterness of soul? Have you found he who is risen, the captain of his people? Has your faith been answered? Can you say with David, with a certainty, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears? I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Amen.